Good morning. We're calling to order this February 27th, 2013 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, joined here today by Lisa Chow, who's acting executive secretary, filling in for Ava Attair-Taylor, who's out sick today. Thank you, Lisa, for pitching in at the last minute. Also here with Casey Noel, who's one of our new planning staff, and he's here observing some of the cases today. So I'd like to go through some general information first, general information on the presentations. The applicant and or owners will be allowed 5 minutes to present their case, and during this time they should focus on how the 5 findings necessary to grant a variance have been met. At this time, the applicant should also present their declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes to speak, and the applicant and or owner will be allowed a 3-minute rebuttal if there's public comment in opposition to the project. During this time, it may ask questions of the applicant and or members of the public. At the end of the hearing, it may close the public hearing and take the matter under advisement or make a decision today. It may also continue the item to a later date. And also, we have items on the consent calendar. There's one on the consent calendar today. These are matters that are considered routine by the zoning administrator. And if anyone would like to speak on one of these items, please step forward when that item is called. Doing so will give that a full public hearing. Otherwise, the item will be granted. There's also a couple cases that need to be continued from today's hearing due to notification issues. I'll get to that in just a minute, but wanted to first go to the criteria for justifying a variance. Under Planning Code Section 305C, it states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following 5 findings. Finding number 1, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number 2, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or a necessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number 3, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number 4, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number 5, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. Decision letters, no decision is final until a decision letter is issued due to number of variances and current backlogs, which we hope to be able to reduce given new staffing additions, including Mr. Noel, who's here. Decision letters may currently take up to 2 months to process. And if anyone would like to receive a copy of the decision letter, please sign the sign-in sheet against the far wall. And that's very important because the appeal of a variance decision letter can be made within 10 days of the issuance of that decision letter to the Board of Appeals. Other issues, private conversations can be disrupted during the hearing. While we do encourage parties to meet and to talk, if that is going to happen, please do so outside of the hearing room so as not to disrupt others. There's a general public comment item at the end of the calendar for items that are not on the calendar today. The next variance hearing is scheduled for a month from today for March 27th. Also, audio recordings of variance hearings going back to January 2001 are available on the Planning Department's website as a link on the hearing agenda. That's all. We can move on to the items for continuance. And let's see. We are going to have, and maybe I'll just read these, Lisa. There's currently agenda one item for continuance. Item number 1, 1015 Pure Street, case number 2012.1393V. As I noted, we do have a couple others that need to be continued. The first one, Pure Street, will be continued to March 27th, 2013. Fortunately, we also will be continuing items number 15 and 16. Item number 15, which is 1655 Page Street, case number 2012.0715V, will be continued to April 24th. 2013, and item number 16, which is 4570 19th Street, case number 2012-1373V, is continued to March 27th, 1 month from today. These 3 cases are being continued because of notification issues. Unfortunately, I would have liked to have been able to continue item 15 to the March date as well. Unfortunately, that hearing date is full. It's actually has more cases scheduled on it than we do today. So is there any public comment on these three items that will be for continuance? Again, that's item number 1, 1015 Pierce Street, item number 15, which is 1655 Page Street, and item number 16, 4570 19th Street. Is there any public comment? Oh, so I see no public comment. So, again, item number 1 and item number 16 are going to March 27th. Item number 15 is continued to April 24th. And then we can move on to our next, which is item 2, which is actually a case to be withdrawn. It was agended for today's hearing. It's item number 2, case number 2013.0059V, 2530 Sacramento Street, variance for rear yard and non-complying structures. The applicant has withdrawn that request, and they will be pursuing an appeal that they have to the Board of Appeals, which was a suspension of a permit that they have. They exceeded the scope of the permit, and we suspended the permit, suggested they get a variance to legalize the structure. They filed that, but have withdrawn that application, so that will no longer be considered today, and there'll be no public hearing on this item. Is anyone here for this item, though?
So, can you repeat the address?
Oh, it's 2530 Sacramento Street. So there are a couple items on Sacramento. So yeah, this is 2530 Sacramento. So seeing no comment on that, we can move on to the consent calendar. We have item number 381 Glover Street, an exposure variance sought. Is there any public comment on this item, on item number 3?
I wonder why.
Oh, if you could step forward, please. We need to speak in the microphone so we can have that recorded. Thank you.
Okay, the question is for 81 Glover Street. It's a beautiful home. I mean, why is the person adding?
Okay, so you have some comments. So we'll do the full public hearing on it if you have comments on this. So is the project sponsor for 81 Glover here? So if you could step forward and present the case, we'll have, since we have a member of the public who wants to speak on this, we need to have the full public hearing on this item. So again, it's item number 3, case number 2012.1293V, 81 Glover Street, exposure variance sought. Sir, you're given 5 minutes to present your arguments, and then we'll have 3 minutes for any public comment on the item.
There are no changes on the outside of the building. It is an existing house built before 1940. The variance is a 23-feet wide house, and the requirement is 25 feet. It was granted back in 1940 with the amendment to be a conformance back in 1940. We're basically taking the two-story house and converting it into a two units. Right now it's a single-family home going into two units. There are no changes to the outside of the house, so it will remain the same as it is right now. Beautiful, no changes. It's just the inside, two-story. The top floor, the second floor, is going to become one unit, and the bottom floor is going to be a second unit. And we're putting a roof deck to comply with the second floor requirements for the daylight.
Okay. So, and sorry, just maybe to follow up on that too. So the lot size here, it's a very small lot. It's 23 feet wide by 60 feet deep. Isn't that correct?
Yes, it is.
And the building is built in 1926. The zoning does allow a second dwelling unit. Without any need for parking, you're providing a deck and other to the open space for the units. Is that correct?
Correct, yes. Okay. And back then, they gave it two addresses, so we already have two addresses.
Okay.
So even though it says 81 Glover, in the records it's under 81 and 83 Glover existing right now.
Okay. Oh, so if you step forward and we can get this.
Maybe this is what I'm not, okay. It's a very nice house.
Thank you so much.
I really like it. I really like it. And it's really two. It's a single dwelling with the downstairs, a very nice unit, actually is. And you're going to make it two units with two different addresses. Is that what you're thinking of?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, sure. Okay. It's a house. Okay. It's actually a single dwelling.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's a single dwelling. And it really has a downstairs, which is really nice. It has two bedrooms and a bathroom and
correct.
Correct. Yeah.
Story,
yeah.
Yes. and it has two doors already.
I mean, this is a public hearing, so maybe if you could address the department. But I mean, do you have questions? It sounds like there are going to be no physical changes to the exterior of the building. It's simply adding a second dwelling unit within the existing building. So there'll be no exterior changes other than the location of the deck again was at the rear?
The location of the deck is on the roof, on the back,
the rear.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That it has already two doors.
Right, it's two physical doors.
Yeah.
Correct.
So we're not making absolutely no changes to the outside.
Okay.
Even the doors are remaining the same location.
Okay.
And one of the doors already goes to the second floor,
and the other
door goes to the first floor.
Right, exactly.
So it's already two units.
Yeah. So does that answer any questions that you have or concerns you have?
No, that answers one thing. And then you can just add a deck to the top.
At the back.
At the back.
And there's been no building permit filed, so there'll be notification of the addition of the dwelling unit and also of the deck when the building permit is submitted.
Okay, now you're thinking about making...
Correct. We will proceed with the next step if we get approval from you to proceed with the 30 days notification to the public.
Correct.
Upon submitting for a building permit.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Now, is this going to be two rental units? Is that what you're thinking about? You have two doors, right? You're making this one house into two units. Okay. Now, is it going to be rentals, or how are you going to do... Is it going to be...
Correct. I mean, we want to break it up into two units.
So they could be rentals or they could be owner-occupied. There'd be nothing that would prevent.
All right. Okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, that was one of my biggest concerns.
Are there any other kind of questions or comments that you have?
No, that's okay. No.
Okay.
I think we've taken that's helped me a lot. Okay, thank you.
Great. Okay. Well, I think we have clarity on that. And as this item was on the consent calendar, is there any other public comment on this item on 81 Glover Street? Seeing none, I'd close the public hearing on this item, be inclined to grant the requested variance, and as noted, there'll be a subsequent building permit and neighborhood notification when that is submitted.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
And we can move on to the next item, which is the first item on our regular calendar, and Ms. Chow, if you would read that.
Item number 4, case number 2012.1497V, 253 Central Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the project sponsor here? You have 5 minutes to speak. Okay.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. Fred Horsfield, the project sponsor. I have a couple of items you might want to look at while we talk. The previously existing rear structure was approved for reconstruction as a storage structure under PA 2008-05-02-1189 and was granted a rear yard variance under case 2008.1177V. That was the permit was to demolish an existing structure and rebuild in kind the storage structure. The permits were issued in 2009, and as many people know, 2009 was not a good year for property owners. Financial considerations came into play. The demolition of the structure took place because that was in very bad shape and in danger of collapse. The rebuild has been postponed for a number of years because of financial considerations. The owner is prepared to move forward at this point. And over that period of time, the project sponsor has felt that this best use of his property, most efficient use of his property, would be a dwelling unit as opposed to the storage shed. So this variance is the rear yard variance required, and a change of use from storage shed to one single dwelling unit of approximately 512 and a half square feet. The block in which this property is located is primarily residential. It contains one commercial property on the northwest corner at Market Street and mixed-use properties on the northeast corner at Market and the southwest corner at 16th Street. Within that block, both sides, there are 21 residential properties. Of those, 15 properties have three or greater dwelling units. That's approximately 71.4%. And six properties have two or one dwelling units. That includes the subject property for 28.6%. The project sponsor feels that the that the addition of a dwelling unit will be more efficient use of the property, and the addition of the dwelling unit will raise the unit count to be more consistent with those in the immediate vicinity. There is nothing unusual about the rebuild. It remains as that approved in 2009, same footprint, same height, same general structure. You'll see on those photographs, I gave you the front elevation, which blends nicely with the second structure on the property, adjacent property to the north, and is consistent with what was originally there. The rebuilt structure will continue to provide security and privacy at the rear property line to the properties on Sharon Street. The planning code, which is to encourage units, this is certainly consistent with. There is no parking requirement in the RTO zoning district, so the variance only considers the rear yard. There is nothing that is detrimental to the adjacent properties or, in fact, to the neighborhood. Going back 3 years, this is strictly a rebuilt in size to what was originally in place. Once again, no change in height, no change in footprint. We have had conversations with both the building department and the fire department, and the project is viable as it can move forward.
Thank you. So the previous variance, which was a 2008 case number, that authorized the reconstruction of the storage shed. You sought a permit both for the demolition of the previous storage shed. That work's been complete.
Correct.
And you also have a permit for the reconstruction for the storage shed that's been issued. So you could you could undertake that work at any time now because you do have a validly issued permit for the storage shed. However, the property owner has sought to convert the approved storage shed into a dwelling unit, and part of that is in response, I'm assuming, to the Market Octavia rezoning, which occurred in 2008, and this is the RTO zoning district, which is, encourages higher density infill housing. There's actually no density limit for dwelling units, but it encourages higher densities within areas that are well served by public transit, such as this property. And I notice on the plans that there is a passageway along the side of the building, so there is a separate independent access for this rear structure. Okay. Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Is there any public comment on item number four? It's 253 Sanchez Street. Seeing no public comment on item number four, I'd close the public hearing and be inclined to grant the requested variance. And we can move on to the next item. Thank you.
Item number five, case number 2012.1422V, 670 Slope Boulevard, rear yard variance on.
Good Hello, my name is Jeff Gard. I'm representing the owners of the property. The property is located at 670 Slope Boulevard. It has a couple unique conditions related to this lot. The work is proposed for the rear yard and extends into the legislated setback of the rear yard. The property backs onto a public park, so it has no immediate neighbors to the rear of the lot. The owners purchased the property in 2002 with a number of non-compliant issues that they've sought to correct with permits, over three permits since that time. The work included demolishing interior partition walls to make a code-compliant garage, removing an illegal unit, removing an illegal kitchen. All of this work has been done with a permit, and this is sort of the next step in bringing the house into compliance to the degree possible. The existing non-compliant deck was built without a permit by a previous owner. The current owners, Mark and Corinne, are proposing to reduce the size of the deck from 300 square feet to roughly 154 square feet in order to provide a 15-foot rear yard setback. They also relocated a spiral stair that provides access to the deck and egress from the main living level of the house, which is the second floor, back to the rear garden. They've located that to within the footprint of the deck, also to minimize the impact on the adjacent neighbors. They purchased the house with this amenity, and I seek to continue to enjoy it, even in a smaller footprint. The extension into the rear yard is very similar to the two lots to the east, which you can see in this photograph taken from their existing back deck. They have had no comments or complaints from the adjacent neighbors and are proposing to narrow the deck to more than 5 feet from each property line, which will even lessen the impact on the adjacent neighbors. As I said, it is in harmony with the rear yard extension of the house to two doors down. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them at this time.
Thank you. I think you've noted that there is a fairly significant front setback, legislated front setback of 15 feet.
Yes, there is.
And then also the current deck, I think as the photo shows, is not in the best condition. So
yeah, it's urgent that they do something about it as quickly as they can.
And the size of the deck is being reduced by almost half.
Almost half, yes.
And this is the main directly accessible, usable open space for the main living level, because at this level we have, while this is accessed off of the master bedroom, this is the main living level, and there's the kitchen and the living room and everything in front.
Correct.
And how is the lower level being used? As you noted, there was a little unit that's been removed.
Yeah, so that's been cleared out, and it's mostly the garage level. There's a small writing desk and office, and then mostly an entertainment room, a media room.
Okay, and so that's not used as the main living room?
No, it's mostly music equipment.
Okay, that sounds fun. Okay, well, thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Any public comment on item number 5, 670 Slope Boulevard? Seeing none, we close the public hearing on this item. Initially, I was quite skeptical of the proposal, given that there is no clear pattern of decks. I mean, there is one other deck. It's, I think, a little unclear if that's permitted. This deck was probably not permitted. However, it is being substantially reduced from something that has existed, apparently without any complaints, and being reduced by almost half from what is there currently. It's also part of the owner's efforts to bring the building into compliance, which is much appreciated, and they seem to be doing a very thorough job of that. Also noting the significant legislated front setback of 15 feet. While it's a standard-sized lot, approximately it's about 33 by 100 feet. I think it's a little shorter on one side because of the curve here on Slope, but would be inclined to grant the requested variance for the project and think that it is a approvable project. So with that, public hearing is closed, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 6, case number 2009.0810V, 3120 23rd Street, rear yard variance sought.
Hello. Mr. Sanchez, do you have the color photographs for these?
Let's see. You should.
And if you don't have it here.
If you have them handy, it would save me from digging through the file. So, thanks.
So we have an issue of the mid-block open space on a particular lot, on a particular block within, in the Mission. So the... The planning board, in order to protect the mid-block open space, tells us to push back a little bit the very top of our buildings so they don't encroach on anybody's sense of openness when they go to the backyard. If we were to do that in this case, it wouldn't really help anyone. And in this particularly small lot, tiny lot, we couldn't enlarge our building to make it just a little bit bigger. So we're hoping that the particular circumstances of this lot and this block, when you look at it, when you see the, I'm going to put down. Let's see if I can do my focus zoom. There we go. So here's the general. A couple blocks down. This is the general mid block.
The classic mid block.
Yeah. And then we get ours. And the first thing you're thrown off is the big school with the big schoolyard. But then when you look carefully on this area over here, which I have further enlarged, you see what's going on. No, I can no longer see what's going on. So let me turn this thing around. The blocks. The lots on these blocks is arranged in an almost herringbone pattern, so they interlock. So that's one strange thing. The other thing is many structures nearby are on the rear yard, or what would normally be the rear yard. So pretty much this whole mid-block open space consists of two yards connected by about 15 feet of throughway. Where we hope to add is that little white spot with an X. It's already set back from the back of the building. It's already set back from the back of the building. It is in line with the other buildings, the other buildings next door. Nobody in this yard or that yard would really feel any greater sense of openness if we were to build up to that. To that line there. We're still about, we're still a ways off from the end of the building. So there's another image that might be interesting to see. And so I went out there and I stood at this corner here, and I stood at that corner here. These are the guys that would be most, that could possibly feel the impact of that. And these are the images that we took. So the first thing, of course, that throws you off is a beautiful tree that stops the building from being at all visible. But even if that building was not to be there, you could see that the other buildings that come out. Maybe. Let's see. Zoom out. So the photograph is taken from here and from there. So these other buildings are far more encroaching on the... Photograph's taken from here and here. Here and here. Here you couldn't see anything at all. There and there. So these other buildings that come out so much farther than ours, and here's where we were hoping to put the addition there. So I hope this is... I know it's a hardship because we want to expand, and it's a tiny lot, and we hope to expand just to add a little bit more space. And I believe that the circumstances
are rather not regular at all. They're very special to this place, and I hope that what we're doing is not going to bother anyone, and that it's if we were to comply with the letter of this particular code, it's not helping the big picture, I believe. So, Mr. Sanchez, I stop.
I didn't notice a north arrow on.
Oh, north arrow. So that's 23rd Street. So I imagine.
Okay, on the north side or the south side?
I'm sorry. So this must be the north side.
So the rear yard that is to the rear of your property is located to the north of your.
Yes,
property.
Completely to the north.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the variance request is not actually seeking to expand the footprint that's allowed under the code, because through averaging, you're allowed to occupy that portion. It's
yes.
simply the height.
Just the height.
So that whereas the code limits the last 10 feet gained through averaging to a height of 30 feet, you're seeking to add the fourth story and go up to 4 feet,
yep.
Four stories, 40 feet. Okay. And there is, as you noted, is a very small lot, 25 by 65 feet, and even with that, you still have a small front setback requirement, about 4 feet. And the residential design team has reviewed the project and supports
yes.
the proposal.
Yes.
Now, I apologize if I'm misremembering this, but was there work without permit on this
yes,
property?
Yes, by a previous owner, yes.
A previous owner, and so yep. as the current owner is coming around and is getting all the appropriate permits, and
yep.
I think this was the last remaining issue.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
See if there's any public comment on this item. And again, we're on item number 6, 3120 23rd Street. So seeing no public comment, would close the public hearing and be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the exceptionally small lot size and that there's no actually added footprint being gained, but it's additional height at the rear of the building and an exceptionally small lot, which also has a front setback requirement too that further constrains development on the lot. So with that, we can move on to item number 7.
Item number 7, case number 2012.1328V, 225 Clipper Street, front setback and screening of parking variance is sought.
Good morning. My name is Ian Murray. I'm the architect for the owners of this property at 225 Clipper Street. I'm technically challenged, so bear with me. Okay, this is an example of the residence. It is one of approximately 7 built in the late 1800s, probably all by the same builder. They all look very much the same. They are on a north-south exposure on Clipper Street, which is a very busy street. Give you an idea of what the next-door neighbor looks like. That would be the property next door, a few doors down from this. This exceptional part about this project is all of these homes are recognized as historical resources. So we're limited as to what we can do to the exterior of the building. Out of any of these on the block, theirs is the only one that has remained totally unaltered from the outside, meaning that it doesn't have a garage. It has a what would be called a tradesman area. And what is confusing is that the height of those spaces were just shy of being legal for habitable space. They measure in at about 7 feet. And the properties along here are set up above the street by these retaining walls. You can see the retaining wall in here. And it's continuous for the 7 properties in that row, with the exception of where they have put in garages. They have chopped the walls apart, and this is the result. How they've chopped the wall apart and put it in the driveway. So our proposal here, this is a young family. They're newly married. They bought the house. The lower level has been worked on, probably without permits, and was converted into several bedrooms and a family area. and a laundry room, and it opens onto a beautiful backyard. These people purchased the house with the knowledge that that was unwarranted space, but they saw value in the fact that if they're planning on raising a family, they would have some space if they did some modest alterations to increase the height in the lower level. And that would be achieved by lowering the basement floor level and removing the existing brick footing and putting in a reinforced concrete footing. So there would be no noticeable change doing that from the outside. The problem is that in raising a family and being on this street without parking, it creates a bit of a hardship that you can't unload your groceries, you can't unload your child without a place to actually pull in and do some of those things that everybody else has the benefit of being able to do. So in order to preserve the space for actually living in and raising a family, we are seeking a variance to at least get some form of parking at the street level and utilize the building for living rather than putting the car in. And as you can see from this example, this garage was put in probably a long time ago, and those are biparting doors. People don't open those doors and park their car in there. The predominant theme on that block is people park in the driveway. Now, I know that is against the ordinance, but that is, in fact, the practical course of what people have opted to do. And I realize that the ordinance is in place, and you can protest that, but many people are obviously not protesting that cars are being parked in the driveway. The other exceptional thing about this is the sidewalk here is extremely large. It measures about 14 feet deep. Which provides a lot of concrete area in front, which we would like to take out some of that and put in planting in lieu of what we are removing from their front yard, being this hedge. So the hedge here is screening some of the trash cans, which you know the neighbors are leaving on the street. And here's an example of what we are hoping to do. Okay, so if we were to do this project according to the way the planning department would like to see it done, if we had to put in a garage, they would ask me to put the garage directly in under the bay window. They wouldn't allow an asymmetrical placement of a garage. So that would mean we would have to take out a street tree, we would have to cut right through the side wall, the wall here, remove the stairs which are existing, and come into the building here. What we're seeking to do is preserve most of the site wall and the staircase to alleviate any grade changes, because most of what the other people have are not code compliant because of the grade changes and such.
So that was time, but if you could just finish up this last.
Yeah, okay. So we would like to put a parking pad out front here, maintain most of the site wall here, put in a permeable surface, put in some landscape in front of the wall, and call it a day.
So that's a very small parking space. What are the dimensions of the vehicle that you have on
this
there?
This represents a smart car, and it fits in there. And other vehicles that would fit in there would be like a Mini Cooper or a Scion, cars of that nature.
And how much clearance do you have in between the vehicle and the first step?
Oh, I could have as much as 3 feet.
And that's with a smart car?
Yes.
Okay.
That's with several other cars, too.
Okay.
It's certainly not a sedan.
Okay. And then as a result, you'll be removing at least one on-street parking space by the addition of the...
Of the curb cut, curb yes. But no trees.
Well, the addition of any... I mean, if any street trees were to be removed through as part of any other project, they would be required to be replaced anyway, because
yes,
the addition
right.
of parking triggers mm-hmm. a street tree requirement. And is there any approval that you have from DPW for the sidewalk encroachment for the landscaping that you proposed here?
Not at this point. Okay. This is just a preliminary plan.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. All right. Let's see if there's any public comment on this item. And we are on item number 7. That's 225 Clipper Street. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, I'd close the public hearing on this item. Unfortunately, I don't see that the five findings necessary to grant the variance have been met here. I do not see the hardship. There's There are code-complying alternatives that would provide off-street parking. There's no legal requirement to provide off-street parking at this point in time. The building does not have parking. It's allowed to be maintained without parking. And would be very troubled by the removal of one full-size on-street parking space. I'm sorry, the public hearing is already closed. Would you like to step forward into the microphone, please?
Yes, I'm Karen Shackley. And I'm actually a real estate agent. So I have seen a lot of these homes sold. I've seen a lot of garages put in, which does alter the historical significance of the building. This building is pretty much untouched on the facade. And so the addition of a small parking pad, which would leave the house intact, would be far preferable to putting in a garage, which is their other choice. And I would much rather see the house preserved as it is with the addition of a small parking pad, which would hurt nobody. As you can see, nobody has called to object to it. So I just would love it if you would reconsider what I think you were going to say, so that we could have a small parking pad there and leave the house intact.
Okay, thank you. So again, the public hearing is closed, and I appreciate those comments. However, I still find that there is no justification here for the variance. There is a code-complying alternative. We do have guidelines for developing and adding garages in a sensitive manner to historic buildings. We do see that fairly routinely. So I think that there is a way. It sounds like they're already proposing to do improvements to the ground floor to strengthen the foundation. So, of course, this could be done as part of that. I find that simply for removing a very valuable on-street parking space to provide a substandard off-street parking space that is limited to only maybe a smart car or a mini is not an appropriate project here, that I could find the findings met for a variance. So, again, this variance request is denied. The public hearing is closed, and we can move on to the next item. Thank you.
Item number 8.
Oh, and sorry, just maybe note, too, and there would be an appeal period of 10 days once the variance decision letter is issued, and you could appeal that to the Board of Appeals. Thanks. So the next item.
Item number 8, case number 2012.1452V, 73 Wood Street. Minimum lot size, rear yard, and non-compliant structure variance at sought.
Good morning. My name is Serena Calhoun. I'm the architect for Maria Rivero, the owner of 75 Wood. 75 Wood and 73 and 73A Wood are, three individual units, two of which are in a single structure and one of which is in a carriage unit located in the rear of the property. The property is a known historic resource. It was, according to city records, built in 1870. Here are a couple of little pictures. My client and her co-owners are interested in doing a lot subdivision in a kind of configuration of this nature where there are three units and one of them is separated and the homeowners association is divided by majority rules. It becomes very challenging to make improvements and do seismic improvements to the rear structure when the front structure holds the majority of the voting rights. In this particular property and the two lots directly adjacent to it, there are other flagship and kind of landlocked units. So given that the structures on this property were in place long before the current zoning laws, what we're proposing is a non-standard subdivision, which does create one two lots of a non-compliant size. However, other variances triggered by this, including exposure and rear yard setbacks, are already non-compliant in the current configuration. So we looked at the two adjacent properties. The one directly adjacent has a similar configuration. There is a narrow pathway leading back to the carriage unit in the rear, and the front lot is the boundaries of it are directly up to all of the edges of that building. There is no rear or side yard or front yard setback for that unit. and then the lot two lots away, this one, has absolutely no street access out to the street for the rear yard, even though there are structures in the back. So we feel that given that the three adjacent properties have the same kinds of configurations and given that they were historically drawn this way and constructed this way, that we have a strong case to apply for this variance.
And so, you know, the front building contains two units and the rear building contains one.
That's correct.
And this is an RH2 zoning district, so they would only be allowed to have two units under current code.
Correct. So the current three-unit configuration is also not compliant.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item? Item number 873 Wood Street.
Yes, good morning. My name is Maria Rivero. I'm the owner and occupier of 75 Wood Street, which, as Serena said, is the cottage. I'm a Latina. I'm partially disabled. I bought my cottage as a TIC because it was what I could afford. Prior to buying my cottage, I was a tenant at Park Merced. Our neighborhood is a mixed residential and commercial neighborhood. There are two residential multi-unit properties adjacent to ours on Wood Street that have been granted lot splits that required more variances than the ones that we are requesting. We have the support of our neighbors, as evidenced by the many letters of support you've received. There are no tenants being impacted, and no new construction is being planned. I respectfully request that our variance application for the lot split be approved, as was done for two of our neighbors. We are only asking for fair and equal treatment. I want to continue to be a homeowner in San Francisco. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item? Item number 873 Wood Street.
Good morning. I'm an original owner of the property at 7375 Wood Street since 2006. At the time of the sale of the property, it was vacant, and I tried to buy the complete property but wasn't able to qualify for a loan. The seller's real estate agent suggested I buy two units, and he had a third party that would buy the other, and we could create a TIC. I wasn't really familiar what a TIC was, but I went ahead and I bought it. We secured a seven-year group loan, and the bank wrote into our agreement that the loan was assumable. When the new owners were forced to sell their unit due to a job relocation, the lender, because of the bank crash of 2009, refused to allow me to assume the loan that they had guaranteed me. I was then forced to put both my units on the market, and I had to move out of my beautiful cottage. The cottage was sold to Maria Rivera, and I was able to buy my one-bedroom flat back by securing a fractionalized five-year loan at 5.25% and the cost of $4,000. The property is now completely owner-occupied by three separate owners, and I will have to refinance my loan, most likely at the cost of another $4,000 or $5,000 in 4 years. I'm almost 60 years old, and this is my home, and the variance would allow me to secure a 30-year fixed-year loan at a lower interest rate. I'm only asking for the same rights that have been granted to my fellow property owners in my neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, actually, quick question. Has there been any work at the on the front building, any expansions any time since you've owned it? No. Okay. Thank you. Any other public comment on this item, 73 Wood Street? Are you the third owner?
I am the third owner. I'm the owner of 73A Wood Street and a first-time home buyer. Before buying my TIC, I was a renter in San Francisco for 21 years. Purchasing a TIC is often the only way a longtime tenant like myself can buy a home in San Francisco. Granting our TIC group these variances will allow me to condo convert and obtain a fixed mortgage. Fixed mortgages with predictable payments prevent foreclosures and stabilize neighborhoods. They also make homes more affordable and therefore promote diversity in San Francisco. Nothing will change about the property itself if the lot is split. There are two precedents set by variances approved for the two properties adjacent to ours that have split their lots. Also, we have the support of our neighbors. Please grant this variance so that our property can be on par with the other properties in our neighborhood. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item? Item number 873 Wood Street. Seeing none, I'd close the public hearing on this item. Generally, skeptical of similar proposals for lot splits. However, I would note that in this case, there is a very clear pattern of odd subdivisions, that we do have the flagship lots and just the one lot next door. Also, there's been no work anytime recently to the building, so it's not as if they've tried to max out the building envelope and then subdivide it off and try to, kind of, and we have seen this happen, kind of manipulate the system by doing construction work before doing a subdivision. Also, given the age of the buildings, they've been in this configuration for quite some time. The only thing that's changing is the lot size or the dimensions. Also, this will ultimately bring it closer into conformity with the density requirements because we'll have two RH2 lots. I'm inclined to grant the requested variance, but I would place a condition on the rear parcel that it be limited to a single-family dwelling, that there are no additional dwelling units that are be added to that, which I think would be gaming the system. But I think in this case, it doesn't sound like there's any intent there. And we've heard from all three owners. These are owner-occupied. There'll be no one that'll be adversely impacted by this. So again, be inclined to grant the requested variance, close public hearing, and move on to the next item. Thank you.
Item number 9, case number 2012.1317V, 2750 Market Street, rear yard variance sought.
Hi. This is the context for this variance is that this is part of a much larger project where we're replacing all the decks at 2750 Market Street. The context is I came in at I bought into the building in mid-2010, I believe, and I was asked to be on the board. And unbeknownst to me at the time, like, there was all these notice of violations that were tagged to the first unit, because when there's an NOV for an entire building, it's only tagged to the first unit. So long story short, we've done a lot of work to really bring the building into compliance. This is the last of probably six permits that have been that were open and not compliant, and we've got a construction company ready to go. This is the last piece of it. We just need to get this one deck and this variance approved, then we can pull the trigger and become fully compliant. It is a life safety issue because all decks are cantilever decks, and they are pretty much dry rotted. There was a bad management of a deck replacement before I came in, and we've done a lot of work to get a really good contractor. They're Diamond certified. They're certified the Better Business Bureau. They're totally legit, and our new property management company, who's really good, is also a construction company, has confirmed that this is a good company to go with. So, in short, we're eagerly awaiting this variance approval so we can pull the trigger on the broader project. As far as the variance itself, this particular deck is the only one of the nine decks that triggers a variance because it's in the rear yard. No one can see this deck from either street because it's tucked away behind a fence on one side and then the building itself on the other. The one unit that I can actually see the deck from the building behind us has sent me an email, and I can show you that, confirming he has no issues with it. So we've had no public objection as far as I'm aware to pulling the trigger and just getting the variance replaced. And it's also a replacement in kind, so there's no changes to the building, which is aligned with the master plan, aligned with preservation of the community, property values, etc.
How many units are in the building again?
There's 11 units.
11. And it's already a condominium.
They're all condos.
So it's the association that is proposing this.
Yes, I'm the president of HOA, and we're redoing all the decks for the full building, but this is the only deck that triggered a variance because it's the only one being replaced in the rear yard.
And is this your unit?
This is actually my particular unit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So works out.
Kill two birds with one stone.
Okay, so that helped clarify things for me. Thank you. There was one, call we'd received earlier this week from a member of the public that there are two concerns. One about notification, which we've addressed that this was properly notified. The poster went up 20 days in advance. The mailed notice went out 10 days in advance. Also, that were concerns about safety. And so this is actually to replace in-kind dry rotted decks. So we are seeing an improvement in the safety. So I think those concerns have been addressed. I don't know if daily here at the hearing, but were you aware of that?
I am aware of that. This is actually, so to give you some context, and I can show you, I have multiple supporting documents for this. This is somebody that's been obstructionist for a long time. The HOA has had to initiate court proceedings and lawyers to deal with this on multiple different issues. This particular person has his MO is that he's trying to get access to a restricted common area that belongs to another unit. And we've taken it, we've gotten lawyers to review it. Everything is totally legit. It's restricted common area. And he's just trying to be obstructionist because he's upset that we don't align with him. And I have multiple supporting documents to show you that.
But what is before at least me today is just the deck that's your deck, and you are okay with the project.
It's this firm is top notch. So I have, and the thing is, the same firm is going to be replacing his deck, okay. And his partner, who's on the board, signed off on the bid.
Okay.
So yeah, he's just trying to be obstructionist.
Well, that clarifies things. Thank you. So we'll see if there's any public comment on this item, item number 92750 Market Street. So seeing none, we'd close the public hearing and be inclined to grant the requested variance to replace in kind this one deck, which provides the usual open space for your unit.
Great.
And we can move on to the next item, item number 10. Thank you.
Item number 10, case number 2012.0036V, 2447 Larkin Street. Rear yard, open space, and expansion of non-complying structure variance is sought.
Hello, my name is Tyson Dirksen. I'm one of the owners of the building, and this is part of a larger renovation and expansion project. It's a building that was built in 1907, and we're looking to raise the three-unit building. It's a five-story, three-unit building. We're looking to raise it a little over 6 feet in order to insert a new garage, add some basement, and rebuild the foundation. Regarding the rear yard setback, as you can tell, the context of the neighborhood, this is the subject building there, neighboring building to the north, neighboring building to the south. And if you look at the Sanborn map, which still has the same layout for the blocks, you can see this is the subject building in yellow. This is the building to the south, building to the north, and we will be removing the bay windows, replacing them with decks, and the rear yard will actually be enlarged because there is an existing deck, which if I put this photo back up, you can see here, which comes out even further than the proposed decks. And then the other decks will replace what the bay windows are. So that takes care of the rear yard setback. The open space, we are actually increasing open space. Currently we have 374 feet of open space, and we're increasing it to keep that 374 in the rear, but then add two decks on the top, add an additional 740 square feet. And as you can tell, I would even propose that we're improving the open space because this is the subject building or subject unit that doesn't have open space. They currently have to walk down this stairwell to the rear for their open space, and we'll be adding a deck directly off their living unit. As you can see here, it's not conforming open space because it doesn't have the horizontal 6 feet. But I would argue that that's much better, having to walk down two flights of floors, 25 feet, and currently through a storage area. It's a non-conforming building, as I said, built in 1907. It's gone through historic review. It's not a historic resource. And but as we increase for the garage, we're intensifying it, therefore the Section 188 as well.
Thank you. And so the lot size, you know, it's non-complying, but the lot is a little bit narrower than typical. It's about 22.5 feet
wide.
Yeah, it's
very unfortunate.
And a little bit shallower, too, 97.3. There's a small front setback on the properties that further limits. But as you showed with the Sanborn maps, I think it was very clear, compatible lot coverage, very comparable to others on the block, you know, with the proposal. And while the unit 2 does not have code-complying open space, you are actually improving the quality of open space, just not to the extent necessary under the code.
I would agree, yeah. I mean, if you look back, what shows, you know, identifies the Sanborn pictures, you have this one even built further out, this one further out, so theoretically we're, you know, not even averaging.
Okay. Right, thank you. See if there's any public comment on this item. Item number 10, that's 2447 Larkin Street. So you can step forward and you'll be given 3 minutes for public comment, sir.
Hi, my name is Borisima Koldais. I'm the owner of 2460 Larkin. I'm the owner across the place, the building that we're talking about. I'm opposing to that idea because it's going to affect the view of my property, and especially the two upper units. I'm afraid it might affect the, first of all, the value of the property, and the two and the views of the number 9 and the number 10 units. And of course, every time I go there to inspect my property, although it is managed by a property management company, I always go up there on the roof to take pictures, not only of the Golden Gate Bridge and the Palace of Fine Arts, but also I take pictures of the Pacific Heights. In fact, I have always pictures in my cell phone because I go there and take pictures of the views. I'm just concerned that it might affect the value of the property and the rents. And according to this paper, it will be raised 7.6, but he said close to 6 feet, but it's, it says here, and that's my companion here is 6.2, and 7.6, it's like a sore tooth, because all the properties across my property is almost the same height. So this is going to protrude like a, you know, it doesn't look good there. It, right now, everything is like flat, but this one will be, and it's going to affect the enjoyment of first myself and my tenants. And, you know, and that area is a beautiful area, first of all. Russian Hill. It's not far from the Crooked Street, Lombard Street. That is my concern.
Okay. And so your property is located to the north? It's
across the street.
Just like
oh, you're across the street.
Across the street.
Okay.
Across the street.
So this is actually for a rear yard variance for the subject property. So there's a small portion of the lot at the rear that is within the required rear yard, but overall the raising of the building can be done without any variance. So that's...
No. Our building is across the street, so by raising the building 7.5 feet tall...
Right.
Yeah, I explained.
Our tenants won't have any views anymore.
Right. I explained.
So it's going to affect our rents also.
Okay, so a couple things. So generally views are not protected in the city. Second, the raising of the building... Only a portion of it is actually what is on discussion today, and that's the portion at the rear. So they can actually raise the portion at the front without a need for this variance or for this process, just to be clear. And so just want to make that
clear. My understanding, sir, it's the back of the building that they're raising?
So they're raising the entire building.
Yeah, I have the plan.
But the rear of the building, it's actually, there's only a very narrow scope of the project that is before this hearing today, and that is the portion at the rear. So we're looking at the decks at the back and also raising the height at the back is subject to the variance. But they can raise the height at the front without the need for a variance. So the project could go forward even if I were to take action to deny it. They could still raise the building because the portion at the front is not what we're looking at today. So that there's separate issues here. So just wanted to explain that.
Also, this is for the back, for the rear
this
today?
This is for the rear. Yeah, so this is for the rear yard variance.
So my understanding, sir, then if they decide someday to raise the front as well, then we as the homeowners across the street of the apartment unit have no say?
No. So... There is a separate process for that, though. Okay. And so there'll be a neighborhood notification, and maybe we'll have the project sponsor come up and address this. But there's a separate process for neighborhood notification. Looks like it's actually out now, and it expires on March 10th. So there's a separate process where you can request a discretionary review by the Planning Commission. Mm-hmm. So you should have received in the mail, as the owner of the property, a full-size set of plans, or 11 by 17 plans for the project. Did you receive that?
Mm-hmm.
There's information in there about requesting a discretionary review, which is something that I would advise if you have concerns about that. But a couple things. I guess I would contact the staff planner, Kate Connor, who is assigned to the project, if you haven't already. And her contact information should be on the notifications that were sent to you. Mm-hmm. And you can discuss your concerns about the project there. But overall, I would advise you to pursue a discretionary review to have your concerns about the height of the building. But also, I think probably even before we get to that point, have mm-hmm. you had any conversations with the project sponsor about the proposal?
The lady, Kate, you mentioned?
Kate Connor works on our staff, and so she's works for the city. But have you talked mm-hmm. to the project sponsor, the owner of the property, about your concerns?
Not yet.
Because I think we
got to notice a public hearing. That's all we
yeah.
got.
Yeah, you're in the right place.
Yeah.
And you should have received another notice which has plans, which were 11 by 17 plans.
So that is due on the 10th of March?
Yeah. So I would call Kate Connor of our staff, and she can help answer these questions for you and make sure that you have a copy of the plans and all the notification materials okay. that you should. But I think it would also be advisable to talk to the project sponsor, because I think overall what they're doing in increasing the height of the building, they're lowering the roof of the building as well, I believe, and maybe they can address that. I don't, from the plans, I don't see it having a really severe negative impact on your views anyway, but I think it would be helpful if you were to sit down with the architect and they mm-hmm. can go over the plans and show you how they're changing it, because they're raising the building 7.5 feet, but they're also changing the roof line. So it's mm-hmm. the overall height, I think, as it appears from across the street, will not really be that much different. So
that'd be good.
So I think I would advise you guys to do that, and you can talk to them after the hearing today, make sure they give you plans, call Kate Connor of our staff, and she can hopefully address any other questions that you guys have.
Yeah.
Excuse me, you mentioned another name besides Kate Connor?
Oh, just the project sponsor. So he's the gentleman in the back, so he's with the beard.
Oh, the dispo?
Yeah, so I would talk to him right after this hearing.
Sure.
And, I get the feeling that it's not going to be as much of a concern as you're thinking it will be because of the changes they're making to the roofline. But I think you guys need to discuss that. And if there are more questions after that, then call our staff person, Kate Connor.
Yeah. Okay. Then I got one last quick question. That is, before this hearing started, did I hear you say that there was a paper that we're supposed to fill out before we leave?
Yes, so if you would like a copy of any decision letter that is issued for this.
Oh, yes, that was the one, yeah.
Then there's a sign-in sheet, and there should be 11 sign-in sheets over there. You want to sign the right one for this project for 2447 Larkin Street. Put your name and address, and we'll mail you a copy of the decision letter.
Just put our name on it and leave it.
Your name and address, and we'll mail you a copy of the decision letter.
Okay, thank you very much.
And is there any other public comment on this item on 2447 Larkin Street? Seeing none, project sponsor, if you wouldn't mind stepping forward and maybe addressing the height.
This is the first I've heard from these neighbors. This is their building here. It's a five-story, 10-unit building across the street to the east, and they are concerned about the height, which I do understand. We try to mitigate the height as much as possible. As you can tell from the existing elevation, that is what we currently have as our existing elevation to the north. This person juts up higher. This person jumps up higher. And we are raising it a little under 3 feet as we're compressing the upper floors. And the notification actually was a bit incorrect in the sense it said 7.5 feet. It's only just over 6 feet that we're raising the building. But as we compress the upper floors, we're only raising the entire envelope by just under 3 feet. So I don't think it's going to affect your views. significantly, if at all, and that was it.
Thank you.
And I'm happy to talk to you at any time.
I think it would be helpful if you could go over the plans with them, because maybe they didn't receive a copy of the plans, and show the net change in height.
Yep.
It would be helpful. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you.
So seeing no other public comment on this item on 2447 Larkin Street, we'd close the public hearing on this item and be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the lot size, the front setback, and the improvement that is ultimately being made to the open space for the units in the building. And we can move on to item number 11.
Item number 11, case number 2012.1510V, 439 Broderick Street, rear yard variance sought.
So the project sponsor for 439 Broderick? We'll see no project sponsor here for item number 11, so we can hold this item over and move on to item number 12.
Item number 12, case number 2012.1089V, 26 Commonwealth Avenue, side yard and non-compliant structure variance sought.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm Georgiana Kleeman with Sutro Architects and Steven Sutro with Sutro Architects. We're here for a side yard variance on the north side of the property. There weren't any comments at the last hearing about the side yard variance, so we're just going to move on.
And, well, actually, sorry, I don't want to count this towards your time, but I did receive an email from Sarah Velvey this morning that you had some clarifications about the extent of the side yard variance.
Right.
So did you want to just read that into the record briefly so we can,
sure,
we're all clear at the extent,
sure,
of the side,
sure,
yard variance?
Absolutely. The side yard variance at the first floor will be 1 foot, 1 inch from the property line to follow the existing line of the house. And at the second floor, we're looking for a side yard variance at 2 foot, 1 inch. So it's set back 1 foot from the first floor. Mm. And so that was just the clarification we wanted to
thank
make
you
sure it was in the record.
Make sure
no
we got
problem.
That. Thanks.
We're also looking for a variance to convert an existing shed into habitable area. And there were some questions about that. We've been working with a neighbor at 31 Parker regarding that rear shed, and we've been discussing acoustical mitigation for that shed. And we have agreed to several specific measures that are now in the recorded drawings, including fixed windows on the side of STC 35, particular insulation values at the roof and walls, two layers of sheetrock with staggered joints. Each layer would be 5/8 inch on the interior to mitigate any noise to their property because we are close to the property line. We also were notified that there were a couple of minor discrepancies in our drawings of adjacent properties, and we've made those corrections. The neighbors at 31 Parker provided a site plan, and so we were able to update the location of their existing garage, and so we believe that location would be approximately correct. And then I went and measured the open stair portico at 22 Commonwealth Avenue and have added that to our drawings as well. And we didn't have that in before, and that was an omission on our part.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think there was one issue that we didn't address at the hearing last time, but there had been a complaint about a vacation rental at the property, and it's my understanding that's been terminated.
Terminated, and our client, Abby Doolittle, provided two emails to Sarah Velve indicating that she had stopped.
Clarifying
and she
that.
Has stopped. Yeah.
And I mean, just so everyone is aware, too, that there, I think, has been discussion about some legislation that may allow some flexibility for vacation rental units, but that's not in effect
not yet.
So,
great.
You know, keep track of that with the Board of Supervisors and see if that moves forward. But
great.
But thank you for preparing the revised drawings, clarifying those points, working with the neighbors, and we'll see if there's any public comment.
I actually have a record that I can give to you, and I sent to Sarah yesterday, of all the emails and then a list of neighborhood outreach from Abby Doolittle, our client, since July of 2012.
I think she added it to the file, but if you have an extra copy, I'll take it.
So I have an extra copy here, and then also our declaration of posting.
Great. All right, thank you. And so we'll see if there's any public comment on this item.
Great.
And item number 12, 26 Commonwealth Avenue.
Hello. Actually, this may be a question for Sutro Architects. I had no questions until I just heard the
presentation, which I thought I heard, and I could be wrong, that the variance was requested for 13 inches from the property line. I, by the way, am the owner of 22 Commonwealth, where the variance is. And I understood that it was 13 inches from the property line from the existing home, and then 25 inches from the property line for the addition. That just wasn't what I heard, but maybe I misheard it.
If you'd like to step forward and maybe put on the overhead the plans showing.
So at the first floor, I can show you the first floor plan. We're proposing to align with the existing residence, which is 13 inches from the existing property line.
Right.
And so that's what we're proposing at the first floor.
But the extension
exactly.
there is
Got
not
it.
The same.
You're right. Okay. So for the first portion of the building, as our drawings show, we're applying for a variance for a 13-inch variance. Mm-hmm. For a small breakfast room extension, it will be set back an additional foot, 25 inches. And then on the second floor, the entire addition will be set back 25 inches. Yeah. That's the clarification.
So that
that's exactly
okay.
what I understood,
okay,
but
great.
That just wasn't what I heard.
Sorry about that. Yep.
Earlier.
Okay.
Okay.
And then these
great.
Are the official record drawings that we've submitted.
And the date on those plans, just so we have that on the record, the revision set was
Delta 1, December 11th, 2012, for both sheets.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you.
And that
Yeah, sure. You have to continue.
No. We are in agreement on these plans, and I just want to also make sure that part of the condition, I guess there was an addendum submitted suggesting that the open balcony on the second floor would not be built out in the future, and that was on the addendum plans. I'm not sure if that's the same reference date that you have. That the slope of the roof would remain the same, and there would be a flat roof on the second floor that would come no higher than the windowsill of our third floor.
So that was the second floor.
So on our, be most clear, on our south elevation, that was also Delta 1, December 11th, 2012. The text is pretty minuscule on the overhead, but we do have a statement indicating that they will maintain the terrace above the breakfast room addition as an open space, and that the roof above the addition will align with the sill of their master bathroom window on the adjacent property.
And so that is open space at the second level of
exactly.
the rear. And so that was your understanding as well, that
exactly.
that would be open space
right.
and a deck. And so, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Great. Thank
Very
you.
Very good. All right. Thank you all. Any other public comment on this item? Item number 12, 26 Commonwealth. Seeing none, we close the public hearing on this item. Be inclined to grant the requested variance subject to standard conditions as well as the conditions noted in the revision set of plans, and particularly for the rear building, and also the other changes noted to the dimensions and the on the property. So with that, again, public hearing is closed, inclined to grant, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 13, case number 2012.0503V, 3974 Sacramento Street, front setback, rear yard, and exposure variance is sought.
My name is Stephen Sutro with Sutro Architects, and here with me is Shannon, the owner of the subject property. There are three items under consideration for variance, as I understand it. There's one at the front for the mass of the garage. and alterations at the front that we think are an improvement and will result in more open space, but I think nonetheless require a variance. The second one that requires a variance is there are alterations planned at the rear, and particularly an addition of a second story on top of an existing single-story structure, and the very small corners of that addition do not conform because they are outside of the boundaries of the pop-out rule. The third thing to be considered is the light and air requirement for the relocation of one of the two units in the building. This is the existing configuration of the front facade. The staircase, I'm not sure when it was built. Forgive me. Shannon, maybe you know. In the, I don't know.
It's been there since at least the 20s.
Okay. So the staircase was reconfigured at some point to kind of switch back, which is not the predominant pattern in the neighborhood. So there are stucco walls that serve as the guardrail for the first and second flights of this three-legged stair, and then stucco walls at the garage with an infill of guardrail. The proposal is to... modify the staircase to match the predominant pattern with a straight run stair, widen the garage mostly because the current garage width isn't conducive to family life, so the garage itself is getting wider. The garage door is going from 8 feet to 10 feet, but the open space that's afforded by the straight run stair seems to be an overall improvement. But that's a subjective opinion. The second item for consideration is the addition at the rear. Maybe we'll go with the photograph first. This is a photograph of the existing subject property condition where there's a single-story structure, a quasi-enclosed terrace above that, and it has a bay window. Proposal is to remove the bay, so it would make the shape slightly smaller, and create a second story on top of that structure with the terrace above it. The property to the west is an existing two-story structure. The existing structure to the east is also a two-story structure. Their average and then the pop-out rule kind of... dictates that the corners that are shaded here are beyond the boundary of what would otherwise be allowed. The hardship seems to be that it would be a financial consideration to force construction to conform to that irregular shape when the foundation and the structure below already exists in a rectangular format that would be conducive for the second story, much as the property to the west has an orthogonal corner of their structure. The third item for consideration is the open space, or I'm sorry, the light and air provided for the second unit. There are two units in the building now. The proposal is to relocate one within 75% the square footage of its original volume at the ground level, which has an attractive new entrance from the street, but because of the slope of the hillside is lower than grade at the garden level. And so we worked closely with David Lindsay to try to provide what we thought were kind of equal measures to provide that kind of light and air. So we have windows on the side and at the rear, and then a patio that is accessible from the unit itself. We could provide a glass door at the street too, which in some configuration we thought may provide enough light and air in and of itself, technically. And David Lindsay said that may be true, but it didn't really meet the spirit. And so then we worked to create the courtyard, which I want to point out is a difficult thing to construct. And so it's something kind of extraordinary, but it helps if this will work. It I think provides for the spirit of the law and allows David and Shannon to have enough square footage to stay in the city with their two children. So,
okay. Thank you. And so the unit that's to be relocated is currently owner occupied. There's no tenants being displaced by that, I'm assuming.
Yeah. It's unoccupied, or you use it for your kids to run around in.
It's a party room. It's a party house.
Great. Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Item number 13, 3972 to 74 Sacramento Street.
My name is John Robiola. I am the neighbor on the west side. And I'm joined with the neighbor on the east side. And our concern is really for the state of our foundations. Mm-hmm. And now I realize this is a variance hearing, but I guess my question is, I've tried to do as much investigation on this process as I can. I've looked at the geotechnical report. I've requested the structural drawings, but apparently they're not complete yet. So I'm not quite sure of the depths, but the building plans say that the rear patio will be as deep as 13 feet. I happen to know that my foundation is quite shallow, and that George's foundation is the original brick foundation, and so I'm trying to find out exactly what sort of recourse we have. If we can't get satisfaction on the stability of our foundations.
Okay. So have you had any discussions with the architects?
We have. About We've this? Had multiple discussions. We've exchanged a lot of emails. And they've promised to keep us in the loop on the structural drawings as they get produced.
So, I mean, right, they do have a building permit on file, which is out for neighborhood notification now. I believe it's submitted as a site permit, I would imagine. So any addenda would provide the structural calculations. Do you plan on converting the site permit to a full building permit and submitting the addenda, like all the structural drawings, now, or will that come after site permit issuance? Is that what do you plan on doing?
If we get positive feedback from this hearing, then we would finish the structural drawings.
Okay.
And submit them as an addendum to the site permit.
Once the site permit's issued.
Yes, I guess they don't let us submit it to the site permit.
Okay.
The site permit doesn't let you build.
So we step forward. Sorry. So I you may want to check with building department, but I think that you could convert the site permit to a full building permit and get all your structural review prior to permit issuance.
That would be great, because I think that saves us a step and some time in the site review process.
Yes, we may not discuss that with them, because I believe that's been done in other cases, and then what that would help out with here, I think, is that you would have the ability to see the structural drawings prior to the building permit is issued. The building permit is the appealable document to the Board of Appeals, so if there are concerns about structural issues, you could certainly raise those there. Otherwise, the site permit, any addenda that are submitted on a site permit are not appealable. Because these are the laws that must be maintained under the building code, they have to be met and meet building code requirements, but there are no appeals for addenda. You can go to the Building Inspection Commission and raise concerns, but you know this should be pretty black and white stuff where we're having something that is not going to undermine your foundation, not going to cause any adverse impact on your property. And so I'm assuming there's be some underpinning going on for.
Yes, there would be with the structural engineering would be for the subject property, but then in accompanying that would have to be an underpinning shoring and underpinning. Permits for if they are required for both properties, if they are indeed being undermined. So as I understand it, I don't think that the subject permit can even be granted without the conjunction of those if there is underpinning required. But I don't
think if you underpin, you have to get neighbor authorization.
And it's filed under a separate permit,
yeah,
as I understand it, because it's work that's done on a different piece of property.
Right.
So that cannot be under the same. But it's required before any work can proceed or before the permit can be granted, the subject property can be granted. Or any work has to have those permits in place before it can go, I think. But
the site permit, as you noted, is not a permit to construct. So even if they do get the site permit from building department, they can't construct anything until all the structural drawings are complete, reviewed, and approved by building department. Sounds like at that time, if it's determined that underpinning is required, then there's another permit that you would have to provide authorization for it. So, I mean, there are processes. I know it's probably not too reassuring, but I mean, there are processes. This is a fairly routine issue where we're doing excavation in the city, and if underpinning
it's
is required.
It's just the depth of the proposed foundation, or as much as I can imagine. So no,
I understand.
I don't have any any drawings to indicate. And, so, yes, we are both concerned about that.
And do you have a structural engineer already on board?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. And we forwarded the schematic structural drawings to John, but they're here. But the details have not been developed. So he indicates where footings will be required, but he's not developed the detail of what the shape of the L will be, and not developed the detail for what the underpinning would consist of. And their choices: it can be soil grouted with chemicals to make a solid mass of concrete, or it can be in sections excavated and done in concrete. And John and the subject owners may have discussions about this and may have preferences as to the techniques and those kinds of things. And I think that because the neighbors. Authorization is required to pursue the underpinning permit itself, that kind of provides the check and balance for that. But I
believe. I mean, yeah, these are all building code issues, and you know, probably speaking beyond my expertise here, but wanted to try to
and
at least have this discussion.
And certainly, they're beyond my expertise.
I think you know, having these discussions is helpful, and so maybe to better understand the process. But at this point, you know, it's the variance hearing for the project, and
right.
So. If you have no opposition to the project, then the next step is, and they're not going
to. We did work on some things together, and where we noted that a window is to be translucent, or that a tree is to be retained, or that a fence is to be reconstructed. Those kinds of things, and so I think there's been so far healthy dialogue between Shannon and Dave and John on some of those issues. So that's encouraging and nice. So.
Okay.
So
yeah, it would be typical where we would not ask the project sponsor to develop structural drawings at this point in time when it's unclear if and how the project may move forward, because if through the review process there are other changes that are made, there's no point in going through the expense of engineering something that is not can ultimately be built. So this is done in phases. Of course, the planning is the first step, and then we do often get concerns about, you know, what's going to mean for my foundation and the structural issues on my house, and we don't have all the answers at this point, but you know, there is the assumption and the requirement that no harm can come to neighboring properties as part of the construction activity on the subject property. So hopefully that will address concerns. Is there any other public comment on this item? Item number 13. Seeing none, close the public hearing on this item. I don't know if project sponsor, you have anything else you wanted to add, or I mean, I'm inclined to grant the requested variance, subject to standard conditions, and also you know, heartened to see that there's already good dialogue with the neighbors. It's not opposition to the project, but concerns about construction, which I think we can all understand, and you know, hopefully continue to work on that and have a good dialogue there to have transparency about the plans as they develop, and you know, peace of mind for all the neighboring properties here. So with that, we can move on to the next item, item number 14. But maybe before we get to that point, has the project sponsor for item number 11, that's 439 Broderick. So, okay, seeing that there's no sponsor here, we'll still go on to the what is going to be the last item on the calendar now, item number 14 for 608 Heath Street.
Item number 14, case number 2012.1390V, 608 Hay Street, rear yard variance sought.
Okay, I'm Lauren Rapetto with RR Design Studios, and we're doing a rear stair and deck replacement. And we would have just gone for a straight replacement and in kind, but nothing complies with the current life safety. So the start of the stairs is actually in a 5-foot wide gangway, and so the stairs are about 2.5 feet wide, and then the access through to the backyard is a little bit more than 2 feet wide. And then in the rear, the little area of walkway that's in front of the doors on the second floor is actually non-complying. It's only, I think it was 2'8" wide, which obviously is not wide enough. And then the stairs as well are still the narrower. So to go ahead and to actually increase everything to the 3-foot clearances, we couldn't keep it in the same locations. And then when we put it in the backyard, to put just straight stairs up the side, you couldn't do it because we had access to the doors and the windows. So we ended up with this type of configuration. And then the doors are actually to the middle, kind of farther past middle of the building. So we did add some deck space, but it gained open space, which we didn't have, private open space that we didn't have for the two upper units. So even though it's it's actually increasing, the livability of those units. And then in the second floor deck actually has a retaining wall in the back. So our second floor is actually level with the backyard of the open space, the yard behind us. So really the only one that is more prominent than what it had been was on the third floor. And what we did with that, we had been having all of the stairs run along the window well of the property. Was it 610 Haight Street? So what we did is we actually pulled it farther away from that property lane than we were before, because we were going a little further out.
And these are all required second means of egress for the units?
Yes, they are.
And so under the code, you can actually replace a required second means of egress, even if it's in the required rear yard, and account for minor changes to meet minimum building code requirements without the need for a variance. But I think what has triggered the variance in this case is the decks, and there are minor decks that are being added here and there. So,
well, we couldn't fit within the current variance. The current variance is only for 6 foot, and we needed beyond that to actually replace it. And like I said, with the configuration, because we couldn't start it in that gangway, because the gangway is 5 feet, and we've got the longest run starting there, we had to go into the backyard, which means we would have had to do a double, a switchback, which means we would have had, 3 foot, 3 foot, 3 foot, 9 foot, and then we didn't have enough room for the actual structure.
You're in your neighbor's yard at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So we went through a lot of iterations on how to actually configure it, and this was the least impact to the neighbors.
And there's no clear mid-block open space pattern here either, so.
No.
Okay.
No, and the neighbor towards the Steiner Street, they actually have a deck that goes all the way out, and the building on the other side actually it extends beyond our backyard.
Okay.
So that's all straight building, no backyard.
Thank you.
Okay.
So I'll see if there's any public comment on this item. I don't see anyone here.
We kind of cleared the room.
So with that, I'll close the public hearing on the item. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting it is actually a smaller than typical lot, 86 feet deep, 25 feet wide, and has a pretty substantial front setback, I think 11 feet or so at the front. So further limits of this, and this is a required second means of egress, which you can do without a variance to replace existing, but it's the configuration of it that really causes the problem here. So that's a unique circumstance. And that's all. Thanks. Public hearing is closed. Inclined to grant. We can move officially, although I know the answer to this one, to item number 11, 439 Broderick Street. Seeing that there's no project sponsor for this, I'd continue this item to April 24th. Which is our next available hearing date, April 24th, 2013. Seeing that there's no public comment, we would close this item and reconvene 1 month from now on March 27th. Thank you, Lisa.